All right, on this finally Friday morning, a lot of backlash yesterday when presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden said, in part, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community. Seemed to be honoring Latinos, but backhanding African-Americans. Joining us right now to talk about Latino racism is UCLA law professor Laura Gomez. Her new book is Inventing Latinos, A New Story of American Racism. Professor Gomez, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Paul. Happy to be with you.
What did you think of what Vice President Biden had to say yesterday?
Well, I don't know that I interpreted it quite the way that that you did, although I think that's certainly plausible. I think maybe what he was referring to is the big split between support among the Democratic primary candidates, right? So you got to remember that Latinos in California and Nevada and several other states went for Sanders, right? And so they were very strongly more progressive. And I think, I actually think that that split was among African Americans as well, right? So I'm not entirely sure. Maybe he's referring. Yes, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. You know.
Yeah.
It's I guess it's Biden being Biden, right? You know, he doesn't always think it through.
But part of what he was saying though is there is diversity among Latinos and
there is among African Americans too. But yes,
oh,
there
of
is
course,
great
which,
national origin diversity. Right. You're right. You know, there's all kinds of diversity, right? So 70% of Latinos are of Mexican origin, but that includes people who are immigrants, people who are the children of immigrants, the grandchildren of immigrants, the great-grandchildren of immigrants, and I'm in that category. You know, my people are all of Mexican origin, but some of us were here before this was before I'm in California before we were part of the United States, right? Because this was Mexico, this part of the United States. And by the way, can I give a shout out to my cousins in, I have about 12 cousins in Lansing and Melvindale, in case they're listening.
Absolutely.
Or their kids.
That's very cool.
This
book, Inventing Latinos, A New Story of American Racism, and obviously very timely as race is such a big part of our national conversation in 2020, and yet it's all black and white. It's not really much about Latinos. And so what led you to write this book in the first place?
Well, I think it's precisely that, Paul. You really hit the nail on the head. We understand, and certainly after the summer, we understand even better how anti-black racism works and how the legacy of slavery and Jim Crow segregation lingers in the country. But when we think about Latinos who right now are 15% of the population and within a couple of decades will be 30% of the U.S. population, we're kind of like, huh, where do they fit? Are they, you know, and a lot of people think we're all immigrants, but that's only 20% of Latinos who are born somewhere else, right? So we're a very diverse population. Historically, the book focuses on Mexican Americans and Puerto Ricans because they have the longest tenure in the United States because of the U.S. Invasion of Texas and then Mexico in the 1840s and then the Spanish-American War in 1898. So there have been Puerto Ricans in the U.S. on the mainland, not to mention that all the Puerto Ricans on the island in the country, quasi-territory, quasi-colony of Puerto Rico, are also, you know, American, albeit without full political rights. But so in one sense, what the book is talking about is how did those Latinos navigate the black-white racial paradigm? And in part of the 20th century, that was by claiming that they were kind of an in-between group, that they weren't black and that they were sort of one foot in the white category. And so I talk about how white supremacy actually depended on, in particular in certain cities and states, on Latinos being this intermediate group that was willing to enforce the black-white color line by being this kind of intermediate group. That was true especially in places like Chicago, where there was a significant Latino population, and by the way, both Mexican-American and Puerto Rican there, as well as a black community. So, for example, in between 1970 and 1980, I think are the years, it might be 70 to 90, the whites, a huge number of whites left Chicago. And that was because they were leaving because it was white flight, right? There was a similar phenomenon in Detroit over a period of decades before that and after that, right, that you all are very familiar
with. Absolutely.
And what happened in that period is that the Latinos moved in to white neighborhoods that were close to African-American neighborhoods, right? And so in Chicago, they were a literal kind of buffer between those whites who had stayed in Chicago and those blacks who were there. And that begins to change as we move into the 70s and 80s with a more of a race consciousness, at least among more left-leaning Mexican-Americans and Puerto Ricans, modeling themselves after the black civil rights movement, right? So you see the rise of organizations that look very similar to black civil rights organizations and that are much more willing to say, no, we're not white, to call out racial oppression. And so you see those vicissitudes, those ebbs and flows in identity over the 20th century. And I'm arguing that in the last couple decades of the 20th century and the first decades of this century, Latinos are increasingly seeing themselves as a racial minority, and that's partly because of racism directed at us. So in particular, thinking about Trump's campaign, right? You remember that first announcement he made that he was running for president. He comes down the elevator in Trump Tower, and he starts talking about all Mexicans are criminals. Mexicans are rapists, right?
And kind of threw down the gauntlet.
What's that?
He kind of threw down the gauntlet with that proclamation.
Yeah, and that was, in many ways, that was his calling card, right? That was his, and that wasn't, he wasn't the first person to say that. You know, there had been sort of fringe GOP candidates been saying that for years, like Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan wrote two books early in the century on the basically the invasion coming from the South. So, you know, but Trump took it to new heights, right? You know, we got to give him credit for that. And I think that we're now at a place where we're beginning to see, oh, okay, these folks are here to stay, and you know, who are they? So, you know, I think the book does come at a good time. Obviously, when I finished writing the book, it was before the pandemic, and it was before the horrible murder of George Floyd and all of the kind of national reckoning around Black Lives Matter and all of that. But it is a conversation that we need to have so that we can understand the future.
Absolutely. Racism is so complex and has so many layers to it. It's not something that is easy to talk about, and certainly no easy solutions, are there?
That's correct. That is really true. So part of it is what I'm trying to do is just raise consciousness, because you're right. We have to start talking about it, right? And we have to ask these questions and understand some of the history in the way that we understand some of the history that African Americans have in this country, that white supremacy has in this country. So it's kind of adding another layer to that.
Very interesting stuff. Again, the book Inventing Latinos, A New Story of American Racism by Laura Gomez. Professor Gomez, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate your
time
today.
Thank you, Paul. I enjoyed it.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.